Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NIIT Limited Q2 FY14 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, CEO of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for joining the call. Today, we are here to discuss the quarter two results, and I will straightaway get into the discussion. First, as usual, I would just cover the environment as a whole. I think many of us, or all of us perhaps, are very familiar with the global and local factors affecting the environment, more particularly the Trinity effect, as they say, on the Indian economy, which is low GDP growth, high inflation, and a volatile exchange rate, all three of which have contributed in some form or the other to our results as well. What is very important is the sentiment of IT training, which continues to remain weak in the last quarter as well, driven by NASSCOM's projections that IT hiring this year will be lower. However, there is a bright side of that picture, which I will talk about as we go forward. We do believe that given the excellent results that have happened, that have been announced by IT companies, and given the fact that they are working at higher capacity utilizations and looking at more non-linear growth, their hiring has been relatively lower. But going forward, we do believe that if this growth momentum builds up, there will be a pickup in their hiring and then a recovery of the sentiment as well. And already some early signs of that are visible. Having said that, there is a great momentum in hiring by the banks, as more banks are getting or hoping to get licenses, and more of existing banks are getting licenses for opening more branches. There is a need for trained and skilled manpower to fulfill the needs of the banking industry, and therefore we hope, and we have experienced that, the benefits of that in the last quarter. Another interesting trend, which is emerging strongly, is that Indian companies are now looking for more and more just-in-time ready skilled professionals, and are realizing that even onboarding is a science by itself, and it can be done in a more efficient and effective manner. And the quality and the depth of onboarding can determine, to a large extent, the productivity and performance of the company. We are seeing some benefits of that in this quarter. Spending on corporate training in Europe remains strong. Large interest in looking at training as a specialized function, large interest in finding work, finding avenues to work with specialist companies. Having said that, given the uncertainty in the environment, sales cycles are long, and to that extent, there is an impact, but the interest levels are high. In this volatile environment, which we have now seen for some time, NIIT had crafted four platforms of growth strategy, and we have remained committed to that strategy, as well as caused the transitions, and in fact, borne the brunt of those transitions as we are transforming ourselves from status A to status B. I would like to present the scorecard of the four platforms of growth. Cloud Campus, which has been a very important part of our strategy. Cloud Campus has now reached 47,000 enrollments cumulatively. Cloud Campus has now reached 209 centers and 78 courses on the Cloud Campus. Just to explain to you, last quarter, this time we had 50 courses versus 78. We had about 150 centers. And I think our cumulative enrollment was 33,000. 14,000 more enrollments have got onto the cloud campus. Now about 20% of our revenue is coming on cloud campus. To that extent, we have a very strong a following on the cloud campus. Managed training services in the corporate learning solutions. We have had 17 global customers, visibility of 144 million. This quarter, MTS has contributed 75% of revenues. And we continue to remain strong on this. In fact, the top 20 customers of corporate learning solutions, 17 of those 20 customers are MTS customers. And that explains the solidity of this strategy. Schools, the NGuru schools for the non-government segment has now become cumulatively 1,735 schools, contributing 59% to the school's business. I must point out that there is a strong right-sizing of the government business in terms of downsizing of the government business, in terms of the expiry of contracts and our not wanting to renew or take new contracts. And that is also visible in these results. Yuva Jyoti, the NIT Skills Development Initiative, has now reached more than 10,000 enrollment, more than 3,000 placements, and is now reach extends to about 43 locations. So overall, good growth, good progress on each of the platforms of growth. How it appears in financials, we will discuss as we go along. The bottom line was to improve profitability, liquidity, and capital efficiency. On each one of these, we have made progress. Profitability, despite having subdued revenues because of the transition, some increasing and some decreasing, we have maintained the margin at the same level, which makes up for the inflation, both wage as well as cost, other cost inflation, as well as the adverse impact of exchange rate, which can happen in expenses. Liquidity, we have reduced our receivables significantly, have had good collections, enormous amount of work put in by the management team to recover the money due to us from our government customers, but with some success. And lastly, in capital efficiency, our depreciation has dropped by 20% on a year basis, which shows less capital intensity. So all on all the declared strategic initiatives, there is significant progress in this quarter. Cloud campus remains a focal area of our strategy. Why? Because we believe cloud campus will finally encompass all elements of other four platforms of growth as well. And we'll talk more about it as we discuss the future. In more granular terms, corporate learning solutions, the overall revenue is up 32% year on year. EBITDA margin is up 43 basis points. Margin up from 12% to 13%, 190 basis points QOQ. Managed training services out of that is up 39%. What in addition to better profits and better revenues, we got a tailwind impact of the favorable foreign exchange in this particular case, which was significant, as well as the fact that our delivery services have not only been acknowledged by our customers, but by acknowledged by industry at large and industry fora. We got what are called the Oscars of the Technology-Based Training Awards, called the prestigious Brandon Hall Awards, which every training professional likes to be a part of. We won a gold and a silver in respective categories of content and delivery services this year, which is really, really a great acknowledgement of the quality of work that our teams have put in. In school learning solutions, And normally we don't celebrate the completion of a project. We normally celebrate the beginning or the commencement of a project, but in this particular case, it has an enormous impact on our EBIT, as we would discover in subsequent slides. NGSA contribution has increased to 59%. There was a substantial drop because of the completion of the GSA or government project, and a moderate increase in the non-government segment, as we'll discuss further in growth, but in percentage terms from 51 to 59%. In individual learning solutions, once again, our IT career revenues continue to remain subdued and under threat of negative sentiment, but non-IT products grow 43% year-on-year and have now contributed 24% of revenue mix. This is a very rapid expansion of portfolio mix in favor of non-IT products that we have seen, both caused by an increase in non-IT products revenue, as is visible from 43% growth, as well as a decline in IT training services, which is visible in the results. However, even though the revenues are lower, and the fact that it's a very high operating leverage business, which cuts both ways, on the way up when the revenues are growing, the profits increase dramatically. But on the way down, that is when revenues are going down, the adverse effect on profit is also very, very strong and significant. I think due to the aggressive cost management measures as well as changing product mix because of Cloud Campus, we have been able to maintain the margins at least within the firing range of the margins at a much higher level of revenues. So operating leverage and the negative impact of operating leverage and cost inflation has been countered by aggressive cost management and better product mix solutions. In skill building solutions, while the enrollments are the highest, but given the newness of the project, that's not what is important. The sponsored projects, which some of the large sponsored projects that this business has been able to create, which will contribute to revenues in the coming quarters. Overall, in addition to everything else, focus on collections has led to a reduction in day sales outstanding overdue, which has gone down to 125 days versus 141. In March this year, which is a substantial improvement in the management of our bill receivables, which have reduced by nearly 40 odd crores or 400 odd million in absolute terms. But if you take the impact of foreign exchange, then it is nearly 475 million improvement on constant currency basis. Not only that, our depreciation is down by 20%, indicating a reduced capital intensity in the business. I will not go into the details of the financials, but enough to say that the right comparison to do would be a like-to-like comparison after excluding certain pass-through revenues, which were one-time revenues with the same amount of cost. So these are, in other words, extraordinary pass-through revenues, which have been excluded for comparative purposes, and therefore we have a minus 1% in the net revenues, which is there are a number of positives and there are a number of negatives. And EBITDA is at 243 million compared to 261 million the same period last year, which is a 58 basis point deterioration in our operating EBITDA margin. Depreciation is at a lower number, which is at minus 20%. So actually, the EBIT this quarter has grown by 71% on a year-on-year basis, which is, I think, after nearly a decade and a half, that there is an EBIT improvement which is in excess of the EBITDA improvement. And the reason is that the investment phase of most of our projects is over, and now we are beginning to reap the benefits of the investments that we have made. At a consolidated PAT level, there is a moderate improvement of 3% on a year-on-year basis. So, just to give you an overall sense of what has worked positively and what has been negative, revenues positively impacted by non-IT products, training services, as well as corporate learning solutions, negatively impacted by the completion or the absence of the large government project. I just want to remind you, last quarter also we had closed the product, a project of the same, not of the same magnitude, but of government, which was Maharashtra, and this time it's Andhra Pradesh. And the cumulative impact of both those would nearly be about 100 million rupees, if not a little more, about 100 million plus rupees in terms of negativity. Then the weakness in IT training because of poor sentiment has also had its impact on the revenue. On the positive side, we have the corporate learning solutions growth, both in volume as well as volume in constant currency and volume in the currency as it was. And the second is in banking and financial services enrollment. Both these have contributed very strongly to make up for the loss of revenue in two big revenue items. Aggressive cost optimization, and in fact, if we see the impact of cost, we have nearly saved on a fixed cost basis close to about 15 crores or 150 million of cost through a number of initiatives. This is despite having a wage inflation and other cost inflations. Depreciation I already talked to you about. In net income, the adverse impact is of foreign exchange because the receivables get recasted at that rate and therefore create a net minus income. In terms of the business mix, the growth has come from corporate. The growth has come from individual and schools. Net impact of what is visible to us. And same is the case with profits as well. Going one level lower in corporate learning solutions, we have had an order intake of slightly better than same period last year, which is of $13.9 million. Pending order book has improved. Revenue visibility has become stronger. And, of course, the margins have become better. What is not visible in these results is that a number of new contracts that we have got in the last two or three quarters, the transition periods of those are little longer than what we had anticipated. And if those had come in, then we would have even seen a stronger growth than that. The negative side of that is that in future, we need to make sure that those contracts come on speed rather quickly and we add more. We have a strong funnel, so we feel strong about the future of this business. I already mentioned about awards. Not only did we get awards, but our customers got awards, and that gives us even more pleasure. And when the customers acknowledge that they got this award due to our contribution, then we feel even better. School learning solutions, I have, while on year-on-year basis, we have a negative growth, both in revenues and in EBITDA. In EBITDA, as I had mentioned in the last quarter, closing a large contract, even though while you are provided for most of the expenses, can have residual expenses, and that's what we are kind of going, would have had a small impact but we were operating on a slower base to start with. The non-government schools addition has been a little muted. In any hardware in our product portfolio as per a declared policy. In individual learning solutions, the fact that non-IT products now contribute 24% compared to 14% last year is an indication of the rapid adoption of non-IT products in the portfolio. Our overall enrollment, though, were lower at 119,000. Banking enrollments were up 15%. Management training enrollments grew 18%. I need to talk to you about placement. We have always believed that even though overall IT hiring has reduced, one hypothesis of the organization has been that job-ready, first-day, first-hour-ready professionals will be more in demand. That is kind of validated by our overall placements, though are lower at 2%, are much, that degrowth is much lower than the growth in revenues. Of course, as revenues are lower, in future the eligible people for placements will reduce, and to that extent there will be an impact. However, at this point of time, the non-IT sectors once again have contributed significantly towards placement as well. In skill building solutions, I think the model is evolving and is gaining momentum. We normally don't talk too much about it, but we now have three very established methods by which people join us. These are, to remind you, skill development program in six identified sectors, which are now being conducted at 43 locations, mostly in North India, and really the idea is to take those students who couldn't finish school or couldn't finish college and put them in the mainstream by getting them service sector jobs and train them adequately. So there are two schemes. There is a government scholarship scheme which has been announced by the Government of India, and NIT is playing an active role in that to help the BPL students in picking up these. The second is some sponsored programs which local bodies and corporates do, and the third are programs which are paid for them, by the students. In all three cases, you have to locate the student, you have to make sure that in some form or the other, you are offering them a funding support, either of the support agency or the sponsoring agency, or they pay for it themselves, depending on their financial status. And we train them and we place them. We've had very good success so far. We are looking forward to growing this business considerably. It has not yet reached a critical mass where we can believe that we are at a mature part of the learning curve, but definitely there are very encouraging signs. On the balance sheet, we had a strong focus on collections, which led to a reduction in accounts receivables by 479 million in constant currency terms and 415 million at the declared exchange rate. This is very significant in terms of improvement in bill receivables that we have seen for many quarters. And this was because of a concentrated effort on collection which has been launched. And we expect to see the impact of that even in coming quarters. Our DSO days have improved significantly. Our CapEx was very muted. We have been managing our cash very, very tightly, given the fact that the businesses are in transition and we need money to manage those transitions. Our net fixed assets have also come down, and so has the depreciation level. Even on headcount, given the sizing of the business as it is changing headcount has reduced by 150 in this quarter. And sorry, 150 sequentially and 349 on a year-on-year basis. So in summary, all that I would like to say is that while in the individual learning business, employability remains our focus, there are two transitions which you are managing, IT to non-IT or IT and non-IT product mix, and the traditional method of delivery and cloud campus. And in both those, we are making steady progress. We do believe that the IT sentiment should recover with excellent results announced by IT companies. This quarter, and if this trend continues for a couple of more, we should have the benefit of a stronger, we should have the benefit of excuse me, operator, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you can hear me. Okay. We should see the benefits of the IT sentiments returning, but when that happens, we would be stronger because we would be operating at a lower cost level. Our capital expenditure, most of that for cloud campus implementation is over, so I think we should get the benefit of that. In corporate, we have made steady progress. We continue to be strong with our funnel, and we are looking forward to maintaining and improving on the growth as well as profitability. In school, we are getting out of government contracts that we are committed to after completion. We are not renewing or adding any more as we speak. And we will remain very, very selective in terms of proceeding further in this area. As of now, we are not adding any. But the private schools, we are bullish about, and we do believe that the new business models, which may look conservative, but are actually stronger, both from a school as well as NIT's point of view, are very, very important for the future of this business. And in skill building solutions, the three categories of students that we are beginning to get, we believe will help us in managing growth for the future. So I would pause here and open it up for question and answer. We have the full team waiting to answer your questions. Mr. Pawar, the chairman, Sir Rajendran, the chief operating officer, Sir Raghavan, the chief executive of the individual learning solutions business, my colleague, Sapnesh Lala from United States, who's on the call, but I think he's having difficulty in logging in, so I will field his questions, the questions addressed to him. I also have Hemant Sethi and Sanjay Bell representing the schools as well as skill development solutions business. So, and of course the finance team as well as the investor relations team. So I request operator to please open it up for Q&A.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. Participants are also requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Our first question is from Deepan Shah of Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Vijay, a couple of questions. First of all, on the individual learning business, it's a creditable performance, I think, on the cost front. But just trying to stretch that point a bit, how much do you think that we have reduced the fixed cost, and how much further space is there? That's the first question. Or talking it the other way around, how much further benefits can the cloud campus give us in terms of margins, assuming that the revenues are flat at these levels?
Okay, so I will address this in a roundabout manner, and then Raghu will give more specifics. But let me explain to you that, first of all, we don't hope and expect that this business will remain flat for long periods of time.
Yeah, that's okay. I was just asking in the sense like how much further improvements.
What is the further scope?
Yeah.
I think cloud campus real benefits, we have hardly started experiencing small parts, which is to do with cloud courseware, which is digital courseware. But I think there were other parts which are yet to come. But I will, Raghu will give it a specific character. The second is the product mix of non-IT business actually gives us better margins. So there is a cost improvement as well as better margins and better product mix, which is contributing to that. And the third is that even now, the operating leverage continues to remain very high, which means that there is a further cost for a further opportunity for fixed cost reduction. So having said that, Mr. Raghu, talk specifically on this here.
Hi, thank you for the question. So just to stay with the last quarter as an example, the revenue drop should have ideally led to a margin drop of about 145 million, given the drop of 225 million in revenue. So, but the actual drop in terms of absolute number is about 31 million. So you can see that the actual the benefit of three things. One is the benefit of the cloud campus. Second is the cost containment measures. And a very small, small benefit coming out of price improvements we have made with respect to the diploma programs and the short-term certification programs. So, in the context of quarter two, it's about 114 million of benefit in terms of the cost. So I would say that a substantial part is coming from cost containment measures on a year-over-year basis in terms of headcount, in terms of premises expenses reduction, center consolidation, and so on. I would say little more than half of that will be coming from that. And the rest of the benefits are kind of coming from cloud campus as well as small improvements in the product mix and the fee that I talked about in the two programs. So this is this I think will give you an idea of the role of cloud campus, cost containment measures, and small improvements in the realization due to mix and price.
Okay, fair enough. So and just to get some more comfort on the margins on the individual learning business, can we expect that this probably is the bottom in terms of margins and probably from here we may not see further deterioration in margins on a year-on-year basis?
Well, we have to recognize that we do have seasonality as you've been following us very closely.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm talking on an annual basis, like seasonality.
On an annualized basis, given where we are, I think we should be at or better than last year margins.
Okay.
We do definitely expect improvement in the margins over last year.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. And coming to the schools business, like, can we just have that figure about how are the margins in the continuing business? Like in the current quarter, we obviously had some margins, but say going ahead in terms of level, what level we should assume as the margins, which as a base margins from which we can progress ahead?
We had guided for 8 to 9%.
Okay.
So it would be in the same range.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. But that should definitely improve as the contribution from the school, non-government schools increases.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And just lastly, once again, sticking to profitability in the skills building business, any further losses we probably can expect, or this is something where we hope to contain the losses at about 25 million per quarter?
I don't think the losses will increase beyond that unless there is a step jump in our expansion plans. But we don't expect that. We would like to grow gradually. And given the fact that we have so many pieces in the melting pot, we would not like to make step jumps in this business, which is a new area. So therefore, safe to assume that margin this will remain at this and should improve as we go forward. maybe not immediately, but couple of quarters later.
Okay, fair enough. And in terms of the individual business, how have been the enrollments in the career business?
Raghu?
Yeah, career business, from the point of view of students really, particularly in the IT space, not wanting to make up their mind to invest in career programs, there has been a reduction in the overall enrollment in the IT space. But when it comes to banking enrollments, it's been pretty good. We have grown at 15% in the quarter year on year basis.
Mm.
And if you look at the management enrollments, we have grown 18%. So the bottom line is that the IT sentiments being what they are, the enrollments have been weak.
Okay. And lastly, just maybe Vijay can throw some more light on it. Looking at the changing sentiment in the IT services industry, we all have seen that there has been some improvement in terms of the revenue growth and companies are speaking more positively about the future. Any increase in recruitments from that, should that get reflected significantly in the next season, or you expect even the next quarter or the March quarter to be better in terms of growth?
I'll give you one person better than me who can answer this question.
Okay.
He's the NASSCOM chairman. So, not current one, but just past one. Raji, question is, given that IT sentiment is improving and they have had great results, next season onward, do you see a growth in recruitment? What are your members saying?
Well, I think everybody has tracked the results and seen very good improvement in profitability for sure. So there is an angle of foreign exchange. We have to remember that. We shouldn't get overly excited.
Sure.
But the fact remains that when companies get more profitable, and some of them have talked of better pipeline, so order intake, stories we have to hear, there were passing references to larger orders and so on. So I think generally the sentiment has become more positive. I would think another quarter will give a clear indication, because if some companies have to take the calls on hiring now,
mm-hmm.
and normally going to campuses, so I would tend to feel that given this result, companies will look up a little more
mm-hmm.
for hiring. And by January time, when the next quarter results come, many people are into recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they do, if they will visit the campuses, I expect them to take, positions which are not fully looking at all the numbers they want, but visiting campuses, preparing to up the numbers should the next quarter go up. So right now, of course, there's a very strong sentiment, but I would probably wait a quarter before it translates into aggressive hiring. We'll probably have to wait a quarter.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Amar Moria of Indian Avesh Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. So most of my questions have been answered. There are one question. What kind of margin levels one can see in the MTS segment? Because if I see the operating margin actually ranges between 12% to 14%. And why it fluctuates between 12% to 14%, that is first question. And secondly, going ahead, what kind of margin levels we can see in this particular segment?
Okay, thank you. So there are the following are the reasons of 12 to 14%. It depends on when a new contract comes in, then there is a higher transition cost but not corresponding revenue. And as the contract stabilizes, there is a higher revenue compared to the operating cost, but obviously properly accounted based on the period basis. And then there is the closing time of a project, which we hope in these cases will not happen. But that will be unfair to assume that the world will remain ideal. So at both the beginning and the end of the project, the margins will be subdued. You try to balance them as much as you can. but that's the reality of the situation. So last year, as you know, we got last few quarters we got some very good contracts. Right now they are in the transition phase. As I mentioned a short while ago, that many of them are have to gear up to 100% of their, should I say, firing power or revenue power, and to that extent we would bear a higher cost structure. So it's the should I say the period of time at which you are measuring, the point of time you are measuring, how many contracts are in a mature phase, how many are in a startup, how many are in a wind up phase. So that if that changes the margin, number one, I'm keeping the forex impact and all that aside for a minute. Those will anyway have their impacts, which you understand better than I do. The second is, how can the margin be improved? The margin can be improved when the following two things happen. Number one, when the resources, when we have higher utilization of existing resources, and I don't mean people resources, I also mean IP resources. So when there is a higher content of IP, our margins would be higher. So, for example, if there is a higher context, percentage of content development in a contract, then our margins will typically be on a higher side. On the other hand, if there is a higher content of delivery, then most of the costs are something which are payouts to outsiders, and therefore to that extent the margins remain lower. So it is also the should I say, not the product mix as such, but what you would call the content mix of the product, of a project.
Okay. So like now what is the current mix, if we say in terms of the delivery and the IP?
I would not have it at this time as we speak, but I can share that with you separately.
Okay.
Right now it is sufficient to believe that we are targeting a 15% odd margin as the next, should I say, milestone.
Okay.
I don't know whether we will reach it this year or not. It will depend on the velocity of new orders. However, definitely as we committed, we are on track and beyond actually for the improvement in EBITDA as per our projection. So right now we are a little ahead of that, but we have to see the next two quarters. But if we get a breakthrough of some kind where large contracts come, then a small bump in margin is definitely possible.
Okay. So secondly, sir, just extending the first conversation about the government school business. I believe the government school, numbers of schools had significantly come down.
Yes.
But if I see current last two quarters, actually the operating expenditures had increased, whereas it should come down. So what is the key reason, and from when we can see that actually private school business yielding the margins?
I don't think operating expenses would have gone up.
It has slightly gone up from the if I see last two quarters, slightly gone up.
Okay, I can. So while I will check the facts out and figure out what is it that is causing that to happen. No,
in fact, OPEX has come down in Q2.
Yes,
the margins are down. Yes, you are right. The margins are down. So are you saying on a comparative basis?
Yes, sir.
Ah, okay. On a comparative basis, they are down. As I said, there is a closing down cost of this project which is one time, 2005, the 2005 schools. I talked about it, alluded to it last quarter also.
Yeah.
And by the way, we have two projects. We have closed two projects this year.
Yes, sir.
We have closed Maharashtra as well as Andhra Pradesh.
Yes, sir.
Maharashtra, one of the two projects that we are doing, and Andhra Pradesh, one of the two projects that we are doing.
So going ahead, we should, are there further more projects which are likely to close, or from here on?
Yeah,
we
yeah, yeah. We still have many more projects going on during the for the next 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And as and when they close, normally there should not be a bump in contract closure. Normally there should not be, because the costs are matched to the revenues. But sometimes when the closing down costs come, which means they don't give us the sign off and our teams are still hanging around, then those costs get booked.
So, sir, what kind of margins we should assume if going ahead for the school learning solution business?
So as I mentioned, the 10 or so, 8 to 9% in the immediate future. But as the private schools pick up momentum, our margins should grow up by fairly rapidly after that.
Okay. Okay, and last, sir, what was the realization for the corporate learning solution, realization rate? ISD.
Oh, are you saying in terms of
INR to USD realization rate primarily for the corporate learning solution?
The corporate learning solution, the realization would have been 64.72.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thanks a lot. That's all for my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from Kaushik Poddar of KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Can you give a sense of the competitive landscape as far as the school learning solution business goes? How do you stand against other people in the same business?
Definitely. I think, Kaushik, that's a wonderful question, because I normally don't say it in these words, but the competitive landscape is in quite a bit of shambles, so that creates a huge opportunity for us. I'll ask Raju to respond more.
Yeah. So you are aware that one of the competition which was running fast as far as private schools were concerned.
Yes.
That is no longer visible in many of the accounts. In fact, that's an opportunity for us to enter some of those schools where hardware is already there, but they are not getting services. And they would like to get the type of services and interactive content that we have been delivering at schools. That's one. Second, even in the government-related schools, since we still have a couple of hundreds of crores to be executed, we find that our quality of execution and hence our realization is far higher than others. Third point is, in terms of the non-GSS schools, the range of products and services which we provide is probably higher than any single competition which we have. Though there are a lot of local players, there are also for each product there are players who could and do offer at a lower price. But I think our positioning in terms of NIT brand coming from behind us, to support us, and also the range. So, for example, we don't go to schools and talk about how many classrooms and how many boards we should provide or how much content we should provide. So we talk about, number one, what can we do for the students, the teachers and parents? What can we do for the schools to manage the schools better? How can we use technology for improving the experience of students in at a practice session, for example, math. So the math lab product of ours is probably far ahead of anybody else, and we have testimonials which talk about how that has improved the academic performance of the students. So that's the space we are playing in, and we will actually enhance it this year also. So as we are hitting the next year, we will probably have increased that range and also upgraded the offerings into schools, so that they don't see it as 1, 2, 3, 4 products, but as a solution which NIT is offering to schools. And which probably doesn't match any single competitor now. Our challenge now is to ensure that the channel we have, the sales channel which we have, is capable of handling this complete solution for schools, A. B, not to get pulled in by the one-off or two-off customers in widely flung areas, but to try to start concentrating on clusters or school chains so that our cost of sales reduces per unit delivered, and that impacts the margins.
Is that the delivery part you are not able to handle through cloud as well?
No, so delivery part, you know, in school, the delivery part 100% on cloud will not happen.
Okay.
For quite some time. That will not happen for years and years. So what we have is, we have a concept of a local cloud and also the NIT cloud. So we provide for many schools, they take a local cloud-based content for the interactive classrooms, and the students from their homes can log in into the NIT cloud for practicing or for referring at home to the level of how much they have progressed inside the class.
And do you charge anything for the from the students?
Oh, yes, yes. The guy, we do charge from the students.
Okay.
Because that is extra and that's optional for the school. This is a new product which has just about happened last quarter. And we have an opportunity to do a B2C here or also to go through the school do, like a B2B2C. So that part of marketing is yet to kind of take off. We have sold directly through our channel to schools for delivery to the students. We have a couple of cases where the schools were excited. But at the end of the day, the schools can also create a little extra revenue line by providing that to their students. But this has to still evolve in order to scale up. And I would expect that more like quarter one next year onwards.
Okay. So what is the kind of revenue growth you're looking, say, 2 years down the line from the current revenue base? I'm talking. Yeah, let's talk about only the private schools, non-government schools only.
Future revenues.
You are referring to only the
non-government schools. Yes.
I think our aim has always been, and we have grown in excess of 20%.
Okay.
Most of the time.
Okay.
And now that we are completely focused on these, we should, however. Just to give you, as I mentioned, we take away the hardware component, which had actually become a disease, and now is out of system because we have stopped doing that completely.
Yeah. For non-government schools, you are not giving hardware, isn't it?
No.
Okay.
We do not give hardware like the good contract we used to do for government.
Okay.
But what had happened, the competitive space had become so strong.
Huh.
And some of our competitors were padding in so many boards and projectors that it was becoming, there was a hardware component which was creeping in.
Okay.
We decided we are not going to do that. We are in an IP, and if you want to buy hardware, you please pay for hardware, we'll get you the hardware.
Okay.
That's all we are doing now. So that definitely changes our top line, but in margin it will have a significant impact.
Right. Okay. And then what is the kind of margin, say, 2 year down the line, can we get back to the 10-11% margin as in any other business?
I think you should have an better than 10-11%.
Okay. That's reassuring to hear. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Dhaval Mehta of Ventura Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. The first question is from the CLS division. How many customers we have added for MTS for this quarter? And the total margins increment was around 190 bips. So I just wanted the breakup. What was the percentage because of the currency movement, and what was because of the operation efficiency?
Yeah. So first of all, answering your question, we added more, deeper penetration into existing customers in the last quarter, the last 90 days. We have not added another MTS customer in last contract because You remember I had mentioned 17, the same
right.
Last quarter as well. However, we have had new orders from existing customers, but not new customer adding this quarter.
Okay, so
we have a strong funnel, and we are expecting to benefit from that funnel as we speak.
So average ticket size of a customer, so the ticket size might have increased, right, for a particular customer?
Very correct. That is what I mean by more orders from the customer.
So can you just give us the ticket size? Like earlier, it was roughly around 3 to 5 crores per customer per year.
No. It would be more than that. Of a mature customer on an average, assuming that we are discussing 75% of the business of, take $60 odd million, that is $45 million divided by 17 customers on an average, we are discussing a ticket size of $2.75 million. So it's not 3 to 5 crores. Average ticket size would be about $3 million a year.
Okay.
So that would have improved a little bit. The benefit, your next question was the benefit from foreign exchange in the margin would be closer to, in the total bits, you have the translated. Yeah. We'll just share it with you. You can ask your next question meanwhile.
Yeah, and the second question is from the SLS division. How many number of non-government schools we have added for this quarter?
106 new schools added quarter.
Okay.
I will answer your question as soon as I have the data, but meanwhile, can you please...
Yeah, sure, sir. Those were the two questions which I wanted to ask. Thank you.
Okay. So I will just, as soon as I have the data, I'll answer your question. Operators, meanwhile, we can answer the next
sure,
one.
Sure, sir.
In the interest of time.
We'll take our next question from Jaivan Tang of JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. First of all, congratulations for quite a commendable performance in this quarter. It gives us a lot of pleasure to see remarkable improvement in all the segments. Just a few questions from SLS for Mr. Raghu. We have already answered this question to a certain extent. Like, what are the likely steps to improve growth in this segment that you might have in your mind? Like, what is the strategy of growth in this segment? Since we mentioned that the growth is muted and there is a lot of huge opportunity in this segment. So what is your view on this?
Meanwhile, I have the answer to the first question of Dhaval, and that is that the 470 basis points of margin came from in CLS came from exchange rate benefit. So of the 190 basis points improvement that you talked about, that was the improvement. So if you looked at the margin at the same level, 470 basis points.
Okay, go on.
Yes, sir.
I guess you meant, this is Raghu, and I hope you meant individual.
Sir, the school learning solutions, it was mentioned earlier in the conference call that the growth was slightly muted and there's huge opportunity in this segment. So, like, what are the steps that you have in mind to take the growth from current level to perhaps fully benefit from the existing opportunities, sir?
So I don't know what saying, any of us saying that the growth is muted.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay.
In the private school business, because we have done away with, tightened the credit policy.
So you must understand that the tightness of, tightening of the credit policy, one, and second is because some of the orders, like Vijay mentioned, had started having hardware in it, So we had to supply projector, whiteboard, etc., etc., because those are the expectations of the schools based on what the competition was offering.
Gotcha.
We had gone ahead and told them that, listen, as your hardware is concerned, you get it from wherever. We will provide you the services and the IP.
Yeah.
So by doing that, let's say if there is a, earlier if the order size was 100 rupees on a top line, now that order size would be a 40% of that, approximately.
Okay.
So to that extent, you would have found that even if you had done the same business, the revenue line, that the top line would be muted.
Okay.
Similarly, as far as the credit policy is concerned, we had to tighten it because we said that when you sign the order, then there has to be an upfront payment.
Right.
And then when we start the services, there also has to be a quarter's payment in our hands. So at any time, we will have about two quarters maximum payment with us. And we have incorporated into the content the mechanism by which even after reminders, if they are not paying in a defaulting quarter, it is possible for us to, I'm specifically talking about the cloud, based delivery, it is possible for us to switch off the services.
Yeah.
Now, so that is why this whole thing, the discussion on the statement of muted revenue happened.
Okay.
As we go forward, this becomes our only way of working.
Yeah.
And as we add those numbers, which as we grow, obviously there is nothing else we need to do. We have to just scale up the private school business, as we said.
Yeah, so my question was also relating to the growth in the private schools. Do you have any specific strategy, like, since there are so many existing opportunities lying ahead for...
So just to repeat what we had said earlier, last quarter also.
Okay.
Our focus on one side, the school, student, teachers, parents combined.
Okay.
The non-IT subjects, which means teaching math lab, using math lab to increase experience in maths, using the science lab to increase experience in sciences, and also whatever we've been doing in earlier, that is teaching IT itself. We are now upgrading the programs for IT and coming up with refurbished products this quarter.
Okay.
All this put together and an enhancement of the sales channel, which we need to do. We are adding another 25 people, which actually increases our capacity for sales by another, let's say, 25 people, 25% in the field.
Right, sir.
All these are the specific actions for increasing the sale growth in the ICS business.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir. My second question is relating to a bit of ILS and related business. Like, what kind of, you mentioned that we had fixed cost reduction of 14.9 crores this quarter. So what is the likely figure that you're targeting for H2 of this year? The fixed cost reduction.
No, so, sorry. Are you saying that the fixed cost benefit which we got in this first 6 months?
Yeah, yeah.
What will that be in the next 6 months?
Yeah, your likely target kind of.
So, you must know that the oversupply, we won't be having the numbers straight away on that basis, but each business can talk about the initiatives that we are taking. So, Prabhu, you can talk.
Yeah, I think I would go back to the basics to say that the result of the product mix, the benefits of cloud campus, the benefits, the continuing benefits of cost management actions, all this should help us to make sure that the overall operating margin for the year is at a level better than the level at which we closed last year. So that's a summary statement I can make as far as the individual business is concerned.
Okay, sir. And the final, just last question. The contribution of non-IT courses was around 24%. And it has been growing quite encouraging fashion, and the IT growth has been muted. So, do you, where do you see this number in future, the non-IT contribution? Do you think it could be more than 50% somewhere down the line?
Well, I would like to look at it this way, that we look at the overall business, apart from looking at it from non-IT. IT sector is currently on a low. It doesn't mean that as a segment will go away. It's an important segment. However, our approach to this segment is not to stay with the traditional IT courses, but get prepared for what we call as new age IT courses. Yeah. We have launched a few in the last quarters. We have a few more courses that will be launched in the coming quarters.
Yeah.
Therefore, we will continue to be looking at this segment in a quite favorably.
Okay.
However, the non-IT segment is around 24% right now.
Right.
For the full year of FY14, we expect that to be around 26%.
Okay.
It should improve maybe to mid-30s during the next year is my current reading of the situation.
Right, sir. Thank you very much for your response and wish you all the best for the second half of the year, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Dhaval Mehta of Ventura Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so just a small follow-up question on the margins related to the CLS division. So I just wanted to know, like, on a steady-state basis, what we should expect the margins to be in coming quarters. Because for this quarter, the major jump in the margin was because of the currency. So should we expect it to be the lower than what we had in Q1?
No, are you referring to corporate business?
Yes. Right, right.
Yeah. No. So we expect we had worked on a margin growth of 100 basis points over the over last year. So to that extent, there would be an improvement in margin over the same period last year. Now, some benefits of currency that we got also got consumed in looking after the transitioning of the new orders. Once those are in full swing and are delivering full value, then to that extent we will not have a margin a dilution. But at constant exchange rate of assuming 61 rupees that we have, we believe that the margins will indeed come up to the level that we had guided for.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
That was the last question. Mr. Tarani, would you like to add any closing comments?
Yes. First of all, thank you very much. As usual, your questions are very interesting food of thought for us and guide our future. So thank you very much for your interest, your participation, your support, your cooperation, and more than anything else, your encouragement for the future. So we remain committed to growing the value of NIIT, both as a brand as well as its value for all our stakeholders. So thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to meeting you next two quarters. Quarter three is normally our weakest quarter, given the seasonality of the business. But we remain hopeful of making sure that in the next half year we will be able to make up as the environment reduces, as the environment improves as we go forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.